What time it is? How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? What time it is? What time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Knowledge is your birthright. Every human being should be gifted with the right to know self and the environment and the universe into which God gave us birth and life.
For us to come out of our mother's wombs and be 20 years old, 30 years old, not able to read. Victims now of where we place our ears. Who do you listen to?
Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Welcome to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Hey, got a fantastic show for you. We're going to kick it off talking to one of the founding members of hip-hop's greatest group, Wu-Tang. And he is also, of course, the chef. That's right, we're going to be chatting it up with Raekwon tonight, talking about his new album, The Wild, his tour stop in Baltimore next week, and of course, what's his state, what's his view of hip-hop right now? We'll be talking about that, and then in a little bit, we got the ladies. It is the first Friday of the month, and we'll be talking to them about revenge porn, about leaking nudes, and the latest research that says that black girls are less innocent, more sexual. We'll get into that conversation. So it's going to be a fantastic hot show for you. Stay tuned. All of that is coming up on tonight's edition of Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. Let's go. Welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we're going to have a very, very special show. So excited about tonight's show. We're going to have the ladies of Listen Up as they talk about some really, really important and pertinent topics. But before we get to the ladies, I'm very, very excited to have our very special guest. I mean, I can't even tell you right now the type of butterflies I'm feeling. He is a hip-hop legend. He is one of the founding members of that great Wu-Tang Clan. He has put out album after album consistently, and we have him here on Listen Up here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm speaking of none other than Mr. Raekwon. Peace and blessings, Ray. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, bro? I like that introduction, man. That was live.
Well, thank you, big brother. Thank you.
I need that on my next album, man. Oh,
yeah. That certainly is an honor, brother. Look, let me just tell you, real talk. It is an honor, it is a privilege, and it is a pleasure to be able to talk to you, brother. I literally have grown up listening to your music and watching you impact the generation, the genre in a way like no other. This is such a big moment for us. But I really thank you, brother, for always representing, always being authentic, always keeping it real, brother. How you feeling about, you know, where things are right now for you, your role, your consistency, and talking about the landscape of hip hop? I'm gonna start it right there.
Well, first of all, I want to say, damn, you almost made a tear come out of my eyes, all the nice things you said. You know, that starts off a beautiful conversation for me. I'm very appreciative, man, and I look at the Most High, who's giving me my blessings, to be able to give more blessings, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got this album out, The Wild. You just released it. Seventh solo studio album. You're 20 plus years in the game, Ray. And I'm sure you've learned a tremendous amount. I love the cut that you had with Pure on there, M&N. That joint is just, I mean, nice. That joint is straight fire right there. But then
you got that
joint, that Purple Brick Road, which really speaks to, I think it kind of speaks to the journey and then your love affair with the music, the business, and just
there
the lifestyle.
There you go. You reading it. You know what it is. It's in black and white for you. It's right there.
Yeah. Is that a hard thing? Is it a hard thing to, you know, looking at your longevity, your legacy, is it a hard thing to give up?
Well, you know, the legacy is being built every day, every second of the day.
Right.
With me. And back to your earlier question about, how do I continue to do it? It's because of the love that I receive in the business and with the fans. You know, to me, not having those abilities right there, I would be lost. I would be lost in a sauce. But I have great fans, and they keep me motivated. You know, and as long as I know that I feel I'm motivated, I know that I could achieve the things I want to achieve, and I love this culture. This coach has taught me. It has taught me to be a better person, taught me to respect certain things in business. And I'm just happy to be able to keep doing it and keep doing it and help others and help myself, help my family.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
But when it comes to the music, I'm born with it. This is a gift that God gave me, that he said, yo, Ray, this is what you do. This is what I'm going to put in your mouth for you to go out and give to the world. And that's my voice.
Right. You know? And you know what? The thing is, that, you know, I love the title of this album called The Wild. Because, you know, you always keep it in our mind that, you know, there is a duality that exists. You know, you have that one side of hip hop, which we see, which is the money and the fame and the notoriety and the cars and things. But then you got this other side that I think that you really kind of deep, you dig deep into, talking about, you know, the business, the bitterness, the jealousy. Talk to us about The Wild, brother.
Yeah, it's really self-explanatory based on what's going on today. It's like when we can sit here and we can have a certain kind of president that really has no background of how to run a government, you know, just seeing stuff like that and then just seeing how the music business is transcending and it's something different than what the culture originally had it to be. You know, now it's anything. You know, you could get a deal tomorrow and don't have to be solidified as being a great artist or even a good artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is just so carbon copy. You know, pardon me. Y'all might hear a helicopter in the back, though, but my bad.
It's all right.
But it's just everything is wild to me. So I feel like me seeing the business side of things going on and seeing the larceny, the betrayals on how business is working, I feel like we're living in the wild.
Mm.
You know, where the music is being judged and ridiculed by people that just want to go party and twerk and do whatever the case may be. Like, our culture wasn't designed just for one thing.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Everything is a reflection of what we give it, but more importantly, it's never limited. And I just see a lot of weird things going on and weird people, and it just don't feel like a great time for music. It may be a good time for music. I'm not dissing music. I love music.
Yeah.
I listen to Stevie Wonder. I listen to the greats, and I'm listening to what's going on today. But at the same time, it's a lot of shenanigan, wild stuff going on, and I don't even really want to put detail on it, but I can just tell you, and this is what inspired my album. Yo, I'm living in the wild, man. Everything is wild.
You can't say, brother, I can't agree with you more, because I think what you said is absolutely critical for us to understand that the way we are is the way the music is right now. It's like art imitates life, right?
That's not everybody. That's just the majority that, you know, one thing you got to look at, say for instance, right? You got to look at the fact that today's music is being driven by strip club music. You know, everybody now, you can't even go to a normal club. You got to go to strip club. And I ain't got nothing against the strip club, because that's still a gentleman's club. That's still somewhere where we all want to go and chill if that's what we choose to do. You know, we men, sometimes we may feel like that. But at the same time, that doesn't dictate music. Numbers is numbers, but music is music.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that sometimes, you know, coming up in the club, it's a lot of artists out there with great music that's not being heard because it's being driven towards one genre of music, one style. So, you know, now you have the radio now, you know, which they will sit there and dictate what they feel is good music. It's like, come on, before, I remember back in the days, you hit a DJ with a record, he's playing it off the rip because he happy to get a new record.
Right, right. He broke the record.
Now you got dudes is like, yo, what kind of sound is it? Or it sounds aged, or it sounds whatever it is. If it sounds good, then let it be played. But now it's not like that. It's a different way they do things now in the business. Everybody is out for themselves in their own way, but they also want to follow what they feel is going to help them win. They don't care about the culture to that degree no more. It's about money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So at the end of the... So what I'm trying to say is that in this business, the music is being driven in a way where it's stopping us from really bringing out the real fruits of what this music culture is about. We can't limit that. You think people don't get mad that they keep having to hear the same thing every day? But you can't do nothing about it, because at the end of the day, the radio station is in a contract with that label or whatever's going on, that they got to be forced to play that. So now it ain't even in me and your good hands to even say that they want to do it. They don't want to do that. It's a business to them. Yo, we can make X amount of millions of dollars if we keep putting this shit on. This is how the business is being played today.
And Ray, as you see in all these things, right? You know, a couple of thoughts run through my mind. One being the detriment of that type of culture that's being instituted, that's being dictated, the detriment that it has on the next generation. I work with young brothers and sisters here in the city, and we're seeing the detriment of that. And then the second thing being, you know, killing the creative spirit of the artists and those who are looking to become artists, who feel like in order for them to be heard, seen, or in order for their artistry to really be put out there, they have to be a certain way. They have to have a certain sound. So can you speak to that real quick?
They want you to be one-track minded. They want you to say, yo, if it ain't coming like this, it ain't considered good music.
Right.
And that's, like you said, that's the detriment of this business, that is just allowing things like this to really manifest. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like I said, this is not to throw shots at the new guys that's coming out doing their thing and they party and they do that. Yo, party it up. I'm down for that. I enjoy all that music. But I'm just saying, it do come a time where we got to all know that, yo, music is to be heard, whether it's this style of music, that style of music, that. I grew up on all of that. When somebody asks me how I, how my hip hop is. I tell them my hip hop got R&B in it. It got reggae in it.
Oh yeah.
It got everything in it.
Yeah.
It's not limited.
Yeah.
You know.
And but that's what I. And that's
you got,
what I.
You got dudes that has kids. That now our kids is paying attention to certain things that they don't need to be paying attention to right now. They're too young to be hearing certain things. You know? So I might sound like a little hypocrite because I talk my G talk the way I talk it. So I ain't acting like I'm no better, but I do shift the climate a little bit with giving them a little bit of this too. So they can say, okay, Ray gave me that. He gave me an apple. You know, so I just feel like, man, we got to figure out a way to come to a great sense of understanding where we all can say, yo, man, the radio, we got to start playing more music for the world.
That's right. That's right. And I'm feeling
our
you.
My kids is paying attention, man.
That's right.
My kid, my son is 13 years old. He showed me a little crush that he liked on his little, because, you know, I give him a phone. Yo, you at that age, plus I need to contact you whenever I need to contact you. They go a phone, and then, you know, he's on Instagram, and he's looking, and, you know, I have to now take his phone and regulate his phone from him now, because it's like, yo, hold up, what you looking at, son? Mm. I don't want you to see all of that too fast.
That's real.
Now,
that's
real. I can't even do my birds and the bees dance with you no more like that, because you so caught up in what you're saying that really you ain't supposed to be saying.
They growing up too fast, Ray. They growing up too fast, you know? Brother. And let me ask you a question, because so here's
playing
the
part. All this is just not healthy.
No.
For our children to really be gravitating all the way to thinking that that's what it's about. You know?
And as you come
in, great music, man.
And you know what, Ray? The beautiful thing is as you're coming to Baltimore, you'll be here July 13th, Baltimore Soundstage. You got this whole tour, the Wild album of the Wild tour, because you know, which is a great tour, because you're not only talking about your current project, the Wild, but of course it's going to be going to some oldie but goodies, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
You reconnected with some folks that we all know, love, and honor. You reconnected with Wu-Tang on this tour, on a couple of tour dates and whatnot. This is, and you're doing a tour from like now until like September. You really putting that work in.
Yeah, I got to see my people, man. I sure, you know, see my people, pay my bills. You know, but more importantly, it's just that I love to do what I do. You know, I love to get out there in front of the fans and, you know, just do what I love to do, man. You know, I really appreciate you guys because I come for nothing. So
I know
I got to be able to go out there and see my peoples and shake hands and, you know, let them know, thank you, man. I'm always a dude that's appreciative of what I got, you know, and this is what y'all want. Y'all want to see me? Hey, I'll go wherever it takes. To let my peoples know that I'm down for them.
That's what's up. Now, you talk know? To us about this new record with DJ Khaled and Fat Joe.
Oh, that record is dope. Right?
Come on, Ray. Come on now.
Nah, that joint was fire. I mean, it reminded me. See, what I like about Khaled, let me tell you what I like about Khaled.
All right.
Because, first of all, anybody I work with, I got to like them to a degree. I like the title. I like his title of his album. I knew Khaled for a couple of years. A real good man, a hard working fella. And he called me and he said, yo, Ray, I want you on the album. And me knowing that he's one of the guys that's out there doing his thing, I'm happy for him. Like, I'm happy for all my brothers and sisters that's being successful. But with Khaled, it's different because I know Khaled's struggle. He's been working for years to get where he at today. Mm. So he called me. I heard the track. I liked it. I was like, yo, you know what? You going to have that back in 24 hours. And
wow.
I did my job on it. You know, just talking fly, you know. You know, they want us to talk certain ways. And I'm just having fun, man. Just having fun. And glad to be a part of somebody who's really out there working, man, you know.
And that joint is called Billy. Man. And Ray, that joint is called Billy Ocean, right?
Yeah, he named it after my boy, Billy Ocean.
Come on, man.
Billy Ocean, you know? See? It's all expression. Everything is expression. So I was happy to get down on it with him. But I like Khaled, though.
That's what's
he
up.
He made me laugh.
That's what's up. Hey, Ray, I appreciate your time. I know you got to rip and run, but we definitely are looking forward to having you in back in Baltimore at the Baltimore Soundstage July 13th. We got a couple of tickets that we're going to be giving away tonight for your show.
No doubt.
So, you know what I mean? You know, what can you give us a little tidbit? Can you give us a little teaser, brother, as to what the people can expect when they come to Soundstage on July 13th?
Which I expect it is just me coming in there and just getting busy, giving you a real show. You know, I know people like to see great shows, and, you know, I'm just going to come in with a lot of energy and a lot of love and just sing my heart out to y'all, man. Rhyme my heart out in a special way, you know?
I know that's right. That's right.
You know, we're going to do some of those classics. I can't leave the city without doing some of those, but
come on now.
It's just more to just see my people. I haven't been in B-More in a minute. And I'm delighted to come in and serve y'all. The chef is coming to serve y'all.
That's what's up right there. Well, Ray, we are definitely honored, and we thank you for your time, brother. We look forward to having a greater conversation with you because we know that there's so much that's been happening socially, politically, and whatnot. And, you know, you are a very conscious brother, so you could certainly provide some insight and light as to what we're seeing, given some more context, especially as it impacts the next generation. So, brother, you know, we thank you. We look forward to seeing you on the 13th. And keep up the great work, Ray. I mean, real talk, keep up the great work, man, and being consistent in your artistry, man. It's truly, truly needed, and it's necessary, real necessary.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And I'm delighted to sit down and have a conversation with you again about life and, you know, just morals and principles. So
man,
I don't want anybody to think that what we talk about is coming from, you know, a bad place. I think these are things that we got to address. These are elephants in the room that, excuse me, have to be talked about.
Right. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Real talk.
Raekwon, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, family, that is the man, hip-hop legend. Make sure you make sure that you check him out on Thursday, July the 13th at the Baltimore Soundstage. He's going to be coming back in town, God willing, for the Wild Tour.
They're coming to eat that up. The microphone is me that night, you heard?
Raekwon, thank you so much for being on Listen Up here on WEAA 88.9 FM, brother.
One.
Yes, all right, my man Raekwon. Hey, look, man, again, we got tickets for you. If you want to check Raekwon out, make sure that you hit us up. We're going to take caller number 3 tonight. Caller number 3 for a pair of tickets to see the Wild Tour at Baltimore Soundstage starring Raekwon, Stan Smith, Billy Life, The Real Sellers, Donnie Breeze, Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. at Baltimore Soundstage. Get more information at BaltimoreSoundstage.com. But taking caller number 3 right now, if you want to see Raekwon live and in concert next Thursday, hit us up at 410-319-8888. Again, that number is 410-319-8888. Up next, we got the Ladies of Listen Up, First Friday. You know how we go. Let's go.
Skin is black. My arms are long. My hair is woolly. My back is strong. Strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me?
Skin is tan. yellow.
Welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. Man, them tickets went fast. Definitely big shout out to our wonderful caller who got the tickets to see Raekwon. That's what's good right there. Now it's time for us to shift gears a little bit. It is the first Friday, and it's time for me to check in with our wonderful ladies, the ladies of Listen Up, as they talk about everything. I mean, we got some hot topics tonight. And we also have on the line our very special guest to kind of give us some more insight about this very, very important, very timely topic. But let me introduce our wonderful panel of sisters that we got with us tonight. First and foremost, we got Neera Muhammad, who is the founder of I Call Her Queen. She's a visual artist, poet, published author, blogger, new blogger now for Lifestyled by Neera. And she's an educator. So, Neera, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Faraji.
Absolutely. Now, also, we have Lakai Sims, who is an entrepreneur. She is the founder of Vanity Cosmetics. You can find her on all social media. She is a mother and a mentor. Lakai, thank you for being our guest panelist today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And, of course, we got Rolling with Ramos, our sports contributor. Mikel Ramos is in the building, creator of Rolling with Ramos. Mikel, thank you so much.
Thank you. Don't you just say that. Dang.
And we also are joined by one of our hip-hop aficionados. You heard her on Strictly Hip Hop, and she knows all things hip-hop, and I'm sure she appreciated the fact that we had a little conversation with Raekwon. We got Autumn Queen in the building.
Hey, hey,
Faraji. Hey. And, of course, we're joined by our other voice who always has something to say when it's talks about gossip and all of that good stuff. Hollywood Danny, how are you?
Hey, you don't gotta say it like that. I like gossiping.
Oh, okay. No problem.
She likes listening to gossip.
I like listening to gossip.
Right,
I don't gossip, though.
And on the line, we are joined by our very special guest. She serves as she's a sociologist as well as works in the criminal justice field. We are happy to have her as we talk about this larger issue of revenge porn, as we talk about leaking nudes, and, of course, so many other things affecting black women. We're happy to have on Listen Up tonight, Michelle Cousy. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the program tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Ladies, I want to start it off talking about something that everybody has been talking about. I personally don't necessarily want to get into the livelihood of these two individuals, but it seems to be all up and down my timeline and whatnot. Rob Kardashian, Blac Chyna, everybody's been talking about it, but there has been such a couple of different things. And we don't have to go. I mean, I know that some of you probably watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians and all that good stuff. Neera, talk to us about what was the situation in the beginning to even get to this place where Rob and Blac Chyna are now feuding online.
Well, I mean, they've always had a very tumultuous relationship based off of the show. Now, I guess he's saying that she cheated, and so he put her pictures and some video footage out there, and he's just been saying all kinds of nasty yet somewhat entertaining remarks about her.
Yeah.
But this is a deeper and bigger issue than Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna, which is why it's actually very ironic that it happened this week, because we had already had in mind that we were going to talk about revenge porn based on an article that we read in Time magazine, where revenge porn has become a huge, huge worldwide issue. And so I really want to delve into that issue and then kind of like go into like the whole Blac Chyna and Rob thing, because I think it's such a big issue. I don't want to just get stuck on them and then it become like this media circus when this is like a real serious issue. Lakai,
you know, when we talk about revenge porn, and let's give it some context based upon that Time magazine article, it's essentially that if you are in a relationship and the person you're in a relationship shares some uncensored, very explicit photos of you online, but they do it with the intent to harass. They do it with the intent to degrade. They do it with the intent to humiliate. That can be considered revenge porn. And as a mother and as an entrepreneur, and you're working with women, I mean, this is a major thing. One of the big things that said in the Time magazine article, it says that women under 30 are more likely or even higher to really
become the victims of this type of thing. What are your thoughts on this whole phenomenon, this trend that we're seeing happen more and more to women, especially to Black women?
When it first started to take effect or happen, I was more up in arms about it. Nowadays, because it's so common, I'm kind of to the point where I'm a little bit numb about it. And I'm not saying that I condone it at all whatsoever. I think it's just it's atrocious what you do to people.
Yeah.
But at this point, because it is so common, I kind of sit back and I think to myself, if it were to happen to me, would I be angry or would I be up in arms about it? And I kind of think I wouldn't, to be honest with you.
Unless you're one of these women who worked as a historian for a major art gallery in Chicago, and you lose your job.
I read the article. That's when it becomes a huge issue
when your students are coming in there and like, I saw you doing XYZ. That's when it becomes a difference.
So I'm talking about from the aspect of them trying to harass me mentally. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of watching me unravel.
Yeah.
Now, when you get to the point where you're talking about my livelihood and affecting my family, then it becomes an issue for me.
It becomes a thing.
Yes.
Autumn, and I want to get your take on this too, Danny. And then, Michelle, I want to get your thoughts. One of the big things that they're saying is that now we're in this time where media plays a huge role, Autumn. Especially, you know, within our culture where hip hop is so prevalent, the sexualization of women, particularly Black women, is so prevalent. So talk to us a little bit about what impact does that make on a man in terms of taking this type of course of action? Because honestly, I don't understand a dude that gets that emotional.
Yeah. 51,000 cases on Facebook since January. 14,000 Facebook profiles have been disabled due to this issue. And 51,000 complaints have been made since January.
Right, Autumn.
I mean, I think it's putting Black women in a situation where we have to be on a defense now. So it's like, you know, even as far as hip-hop goes, it doesn't necessarily have to be a picture. It can just be words that was spoken, personal business that was put out there.
Yeah.
Point in case the, you know, Meek Mill's Nicki Minaj thing, where he really just went in and told her business to everybody enough for Remy Ma to go and make a whole nother song about everything that he put out there.
Yeah.
So it's like, what happened to the stand-up guy? What happened to the dude that, you know, didn't kiss and tell? So it's like, you got to watch your back now.
That's because men are more emotional, honestly, than females are when it comes to things like that. They can't handle the type of things that we can handle.
That's so true.
Let me go to Michelle, and then we're going to go to Hollywood Danny. Michelle, you wanted to chime in on that.
Yes. I feel also we got to put into aspect the value of the man and the woman and in the relationship, how they both see each other and how both is valued. Because if you value somebody to the point that when you lose them, you lose your mind, you're not going to think of hurting them.
Yeah.
And I also feel about the foundation, too, because majority of these men who post the revenge porn, half of the time they're either emotional or physical abusers.
Majority of the time.
They have the narcissistic ideology that you belong to me, you're mine, you're an object, therefore, if we're done, I'm going to destroy you because I lost my most prized object. So it delves deeper into, oh, he's doing it just to do it. Some of these men genuinely need help because if they're not doing that, they're beating a woman or emotionally abusing them.
Michelle, you work in a school system. You work with and so you're working with a counselor.
As
a counselor. Excuse me. How deep does it go? I mean, are you seeing this type of behavior on that level?
Totally. Like, I'm all about, and do whatever you do, whatever makes you happy. But personally, me, I'm all about modesty, and there's a time and a place. And the issue we have in my school is the girls coming around showing, like, their piercings, their nipple rings and stuff. And I tell them, like, it's not to show. And then they personally will say, well, feminism. I'm like, who's the founder of feminism? Don't tell me that if you don't know the founder. So it also goes back to educating these children and their worth, and there's a time and a place for different things. And it goes back to the values, because if the boy values you, then the first thing he won't think is to show your vagina to everybody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is a prized possession. This is a diamond, unless he sees it at a crack rock where everybody can have it. So,
Danny, when you know, by being a college student, and you know, Lakai says something about the emotional maturity of men, and you know, we've had some kind of off-air conversations in terms of some of the things that you had to experience personally and that you hear on campus. What are some of the big things that you the big issues that you see men having the hardest problem with to even get to that place when they're in a relationship?
Basically trying to live up to standards of like what their boys think versus what they, it's like the whole back and forth thing, like I'm this way with my girl but I'm this way with my boys. That's what I feel like, that's what the main problem is, trying to impress everybody. So if your girl go out and like dumps you because she's done with like putting up with your crap and everything, and your boy's clowning you, you're gonna try to clown her because now your pride is hurt. Like I feel like it's like no level of maturity a guy can reach where he's not out here where his pride isn't hurt enough to go and do something that's just stupid, as opposed to something that you beg the female to send you. Because most of the time, 9 times out of 10, these guys have like pictures and videos of these girls because they begged for it. It's not even so she just sent it. I just feel like they mostly begged for it. So
it's like, how many dates in do you send? Do you send a selfie or a nude? You know what I mean? Because I mean, you know, I've met some guys and they've been like the same day, like, hey, send me a nude, or it was like, send me a pic, and I'm like, go on my Instagram.
That's what I
right.
said.
They be like, now I want a pic. I need some personal pics. Pics. I mean, like, you can see me all the time. I'm always on social media. Like, what kind of pic are you asking me for?
But it's also how Michelle. You have a relationship or how you're building with somebody. Mm-hmm. You feel comfortable enough, like, that we don't get to know people. We see people for face value, so we don't get to know them in depth. To know that under the skin is either a volcano or a mountain or heaven, to see what we see. So if you get to know somebody, you can tell somebody CeeLo after a month, 2 months of dating, as opposed to just jumping on top of it. You date and you can realize, okay, he cuts his steak with a spoon, I'm off. You know
what? Yeah, but that, I think that comes from being the type of woman that really takes the time to pay attention, because I think the signs are, like, always there,
from
right?
The first date
but we always try to, like, ignore the signs and, like, suppress them. Like,
that is not necessarily true. That isn't necessarily true. Like, I've dealt with people where they were one person when I met them. They may have been one person for years. And then
you have.
Something, yes. You
I know her personally.
Thank you. Right. And then something. And they have triggered in the relationship, and now they're a total different individual, and you don't even know how to control this monster because you don't know who this person is anymore.
And then you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even trust my own judgment because I've been with you for like 5 years.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
How
like,
did I not see
you?
This? How did I not know this?
I want to get Mikella into this because Mikella, I think the big question is, and for folks that are listening, if you just tune in, we're talking to the ladies of Listen Up tonight here on Your Source for Cool Jazz and More, WEAA 88.9 FM. WEAA.org, talking about revenge porn, leaking nudes, and I'm going to get into a conversation talking about some of the latest research about what people perceive for young black girls. I'm telling you, it's absolutely astounding. But as we talk about this, Mikel, you know, I know that some of our listeners are saying, well, look, you know, you got these young women on the microphone talking about this, but why? Why would you, as a woman or a young woman, even put yourself in a position to send certain type of photos to individuals that you really don't know, or that you're not, quote, you know, you should know? People often ask that question, well, why did you even do that in the beginning? What would you say to that?
First rule of thumb, you post below the chin.
No
anyway.
Face, no trace.
No face, no trace.
I'm gonna send you something. All you're going to get is what's on the body, and anybody can have that.
Right.
There's plenty of females that have that. But anyways, I mean, it's also a level of how much I don't think there's many women that can't say once you trusted a guy and got to the point where you were ready for intimacy and you were ready to up the ante within the conversation once you got to know them, that you wasn't ready to show him, hey, yeah, I'm about these books too, but guess what else I can do? Guess what my other side is? Guess who I am? And guess what? I can not only be your woman, but in every way, over here and there, I'm every woman. So guess what I got? And I can't wait for you to get here and I'll show you that too.
I'm going to ask a question, though.
I want to say this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I understand we're talking about, I understand, and not to really place it on Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna, but this has been my argument the whole time. I understand what she does for a living. I understand how, I mean, ironically,
she became the lawyer.
Hold on, ladies. Ironically, I happen to have gone to the same high school as Blac Chyna, Black Charles Herbert Flowers High School. I remember her face vaguely in the hallways. I never was a friend of hers, never associated with her. But at the same time, you know, she propelled and excelled from so far to a certain degree, to once you know her, till now. I understand everybody's talking about her occupation. Yes, she's leaked her own pictures. Yes, she's shown her own body. Yes, she does this and does that. But guess what? Rob Kardashian, And when I usually have to talk about that, this is if Rob Kardashian is a victim, which he's playing, is a victim of being cheated on, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be.
Join the club.
She's a victim. She's a victim of, okay, fine. I may have done this. I may have done that to you. Yes, you're upset at me. But guess what? You're upset with me, but that don't mean you gotta go and talk about our business.
I don't condone what he did.
Talk about how you feel about me and take that to a full national scale. Okay,
but check this out. Okay, they have a reality. Okay. They live in reality TV. Okay. Their whole world is reality TV.
Let's
we're together.
But I'm not excusing what Rob did. I'm not excusing what he did. But at the same time, I want to take this conversation to the flip side because, all right, what he did was completely wrong. There's no excuse for what Rob did, putting her pictures out there. But at the same time, I don't look at her like she's the victim here.
But it's not. But you're not looking. I feel like most women like who's one, looking.
But
at,
I'm. But I'm
hold
saying.
Hold on. Let me finish. I feel like some women who are looking at what she's not. What she's not.
This girl
what
had
she's
a whole
not,
come up.
She's
off
not.
Of
abil- she doesn't have the ability. Me, she doesn't have the ability to feel some type of way about what's happening because of her occupation.
You showed your body for a living. I'm going to be saying
that. I disagree. I don't get it.
How do you show your body for a living and then you feel some type of way because somebody saw your picture?
Michelle, you got something to say. Nira, I want to hear what you got to say.
Remember the start point.
Sorry.
He did this because, and I'm not excusing his actions, but we know he suffers from depression. We know he was having some issues. So
okay.
Let's take that and put that to one side.
Yeah.
We know that a lifestyle, some may call it cruddy, some may call it doing what you have to do to get by, but let's remember their foundation started because she was trying to get at Kylie Jenner. In between all of this, a baby came about. Therefore, if I feel like if she had any sense, you would not do this to the father of your child. That's number one.
I think what Michelle was trying to say was that China entered this from the very beginning with cruel intentions. She played this. Okay, she made it seem like she was gonna.
I agree wholeheartedly.
She made it seem like she was trying to get him better, trying to make it sound like she was so in love with him, helping him with his weight, knowing that she was only with him because she wanted to get back at his sister.
Okay.
She cannot have been plotted from the beginning.
Okay.
If you dealt with somebody, you got a however million dollar contract. You paid Mark his last day. And dude does not even think with his sisters. It's not even like he's cool with them. He just got on like conversing terms with his sisters.
Okay.
And just to affect his little sister,
he
broke his man down. I don't excuse his actions at all.
Right.
Look
at all. But if it was flip side and it was a woman, it would be all of us like, oh, hell no. You got to think about how it started.
Exactly.
Maybe not right in the head. Depression will make you do a lot of things. A heartbreak is one of the greatest triggers of depression. And then you have his child. And then what he said
then you had another man.
I am not at all arguing with you on that particular point. I agree wholeheartedly that she used Rob as a come up. I said that ages ago. However, for me, newly having a little daughter, I sit back and I look at it and you just basically broke her mother down on social media to make her look bad. Did you even think about your daughter and the fact that would happen? I mean, granny, I get that, but not to this effect and not under this circumstance. Under these circumstances, like, evil begets evil, and the person is going to end up with the money. It's dream.
But he's depressed. There's a whole, you don't chemically, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain, depression.
Okay, all right, let me hear what you got to say. Hold on, sorry,
and he knew what he was doing when he did it.
Exactly. So this is my thing.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't have no sympathy for her.
Stop.
Okay.
He should be his sister's trying to get you to stop. Lekai, I'm doing
it. All right, we gotta give each other respect for this. This has gotten so heated.
It's not gonna stop for a while because so many people have so many experiences that relate to it.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day, nobody's hands were clean coming into this.
Exactly. Right.
So the same way that she was getting a check for the publicity, he was too. He knew what he was doing when he was messing with his little sister's boyfriend's baby mama.
Right. All right, let me throw this in. Nobody's innocent, right?
That's why I'm upset about the lawsuit because I'm like, your whole life is about Like, first of all, let's be real. We all saw Blac Chyna naked before Rob put the daggone picture out. I saw what she looked like.
Let's take it to another level, because here's the other thing. It is that, you know, outside of what a man does to a woman, in this case, a white man doing to a black woman, there's also this ingrained perception that black women have about themselves. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. We may not be able to get into all of it. But the Georgetown Law Center on Poverty and Inequality, they put out this report recently called Girlhood Interrupted. And essentially, this report states that adults from various racial, ethnic, and educational backgrounds surveyed online said they felt black girls need less nurturing, less protection, and need to be supported and comforted less than white girls their age.
That's horrible.
Check this out. In this same report, it also states that black girls as more independent and believed the girls knew more about adult topics and more about sex. And this starts as early as the age of 5. Okay, so Michelle, let's talk a little bit. I want, because I know that here's the reason I'm bringing this particular report up, and I think it's a fantastic report that everybody should check out. The reason is, outside of what somebody has done to, you know, to black women, unfortunately, we're seeing black women putting themselves out there mm-hmm. in a certain manner. Whether you're going on Facebook or Instagram, mm-hmm. the body takes prominence when you're dealing with young black women. And so, Michelle, can you speak to that first? Yeah. Let's start there.
It goes to social and criminal justice and sociology. So I think we learn about social learning theory, which mm-hmm. is human behaviors and interaction between our cognitive yep. and our behavioral environmental influences. Yep. And this generation, and I always have debates on Facebook because everyone's like, oh, you should raise your child. No, but this generation is being raised by the environment. Everyone yep. is a product of their environment. Everyone, whether it's the negative aspect or the positive aspect, it's just that more and more the gap between mom and daughter, or, you know, grandma and mom and daughter
is smaller.
You'll have like a 13-year difference where mommy was growing up with her daughter, so mm-hmm. the daughter sees what mommy's doing, or even on TV, why girls, on TV, what's on TV? Sex
yep.
on TV.
Absolutely.
I made a joke about Power. I'm like, why is there so much premarital sex on Power?
I saw that. I saw you make that joke.
And I'm like, why is there so much premarital sex? Why can't we have a whole bunch of weddings up in this joint? Why everybody got to cheat? But then that shows, like, so is this what's going on in society, or is this what we want to put into the minds of those who are watching that this is what's going on in society? So it's a lot of everyone learning from their environment. Not everyone's being raised with
right.
men. Everybody was taught how to raise with sense. So it goes with the essence of who's teaching you what to value.
I think it's sad
that young black girls are being forced to grow up a lot sooner than maybe other races. It may be because of poverty. It may be because of a lot of different factors. The same way we look at black boys who get involved in the drug game at an early age because of those environmental home factors that we see. And even, I work in education. I know you work in education. How often do you see where teachers have to feed children? Or now we're talking about how teachers are having to wash. So they are growing. I'm not saying it to make them seem like they're grown on purpose, but because of the environment, unfortunately, a lot of them are having to grow up faster. Mirror.
And that's one of the things that this report, Michelle, has spoken about, that in particularly low-income communities and neighborhoods, mm-hmm. you're finding that black girls in particular are learning about these things too fast. And I'm saying to us, and we may have to have a second conversation.
But here's the thing.
The thing is that I feel like we need to examine where the culture is for our community. Like, when I start to see young girls, whether they're 5, 6, 7, walking the streets of Baltimore by themselves or with a friend with no type of parental supervision, or when we start to see young girls imitating the dress code of older women, or when we start to see young girls dancing, twerking, mm-hmm. and all of these things, like the culture, our culture is becoming a real issue. Mikkel.
Let's go back to first we got to start off. When I was younger, I was wearing Oshkosh.
Me too.
I was wearing big bows. I had my hair in ponytails. I had barrettes. The big balls, the barrettes. Now they look like Kim Kardashian.
They look older than me.
They don't look like little girls anymore. They don't look like that anymore.
Somebody's buying these clothes.
Now let's be real.
Somebody is telling them to value their body.
I'm about to get into that. Let me say this. I work out. I'm proud of working out. But I want a fatty. I want the back to look right. I want everything to look right because I'm proud of my own body because what I want to reach to a plateau to be able to show to the world. I'm going to show, I mean, as far as...
Okay, hold on. We can't. We got a couple of people. And we're going to have to wrap it up real quick.
Serena Williams is one of the best tennis players, the best athletes in the world. We have these ESPN body issues. It's always a sports point. And look at it this way. We talk about how muscular, how big her behind is, how everything. They talk about everything we want to talk about, but that's one of the best athletes in the world. And it takes away her body and how it is and
that's
how much she's in
see,
shape.
Mikhail, I
takes
think
away
that's the point. The point
from
is,
she's,
is
her
that
accomplishment.
When you get to a certain level, it does not matter. Women are hypersexualized. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And as men... We have not done our due diligence in blocking that. We've added on to that. And I'm saying as a culture, we've also gravitated to that. As women, you guys break your necks to look a certain way because that's what's celebrated to look like.
And
I
wonder, also bear in mind that
go ahead, Lakai.
That the age that sex is discussed or your body is discussed with black girls nowadays keeps getting younger mm-hmm. and younger because of the world that we live in and the environment that they are in. And we as parents, we think that we're equipping them to go out in this world. And, okay, if you encounter this, then this is what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to respond. We think that we're helping them. But to be honest with you, in a lot of cases, you're setting them up for failure because they're just children. They can't always process everything that we say to them mm-hmm. the correct way and yeah. they go out there and they interpret it the way that they want to interpret it or the way that mm-hmm. the world interprets it, and now what do? Now
you gotta take up the pieces afterwards. I also think that parents want to be that child's friend so much, and I see this in the black community a lot. That's where true. We're having conversations around our daughters that are inappropriate. Yep. And I have a son, but I'm always the type when I'm around my girlfriends, when their daughters are around, I'm like, she needs to leave the room while we're talking.
Right.
She's staring us right in our mouths. I don't like that. My mother used to always say, why are you looking me in my mouth? Like, when I was a little girl, she made me get up and leave the room. Once I got to a certain age and my little hips started, because y'all know I'm small, but my hips started coming out, that's when she started to have those conversations yeah. with me, because she knew, like, okay, her body is getting to that point that she needs to have this conversation. But we got to stop treating our daughters like they're our girlfriends. They are not our friends.
I'm going to stop it right there because just for the interest of time, Michelle Kunze, thank you so much for checking in. And this
thank
has been this has been a very, very heated conversation. I'm going to, you know, we're going to try to do our best. Maybe next week we
I'm
can do this.
Ask, can we have a
we
part
can,
two?
Maybe we could try to do a part two on this one because I want to go further in sharing what this particular report has said and the impact and consequences of it, because it's very, very inflective. Autumn Queen, thank you so much. Mikhail Ramos, thank you so much. We could check her out on Rolling with Ramos. Lakai Sims, thank you so much. Hope all it goes well with Vanity Cosmetics. We, of course, will be bringing you back. Hollywood Danny, thank you so much for your insight. And, of course, Nir Muhammad, thank you so much as well. And you got your blog, Lifestyle. Your new blog is out as well.
Yes, Lifestyle by Nira.com.
That's what's up right there. LifestyleByNira.com. All right, that's going to do it for us. But I want to acknowledge our winner of our pair of tickets for the Wild Tour at Baltimore Soundstage, Miss Takia Hinton. Thank you so much, Takia, for just your ongoing support. But most importantly, congratulations on getting those tickets. We hope that you really enjoyed the show to see Raekwon, Stan Smith, Billy Live, The Real Cellas, Donnie Breeze, Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. at Baltimore Soundstage. And we really appreciate it. Look, next week we'll continue the conversation. I'm gonna talk to my producers. We gotta get more into it. You heard it all here from these wonderful ladies. We gotta get more into it. But this is a big problem. All right, that's gonna do it for us. As always, I want to thank my producer Mika Downing, my super producer Iori. I want to thank my engineer for making it sound so good, Andre Melton. And I want to give a special thanks to Mike Nice for making sure that Raekwon was on the show tonight. Up next is the Duchess? Yes, the Duchess with that cool jazz for your Friday night. And then later, of course, is that Strictly Hip Hop. Autumn, you know something about Strictly Hip Hop, don't
keep
you?
Keep it strictly.
Yeah. That's going to hit you at the 12 o'clock hour. That's going to do it for me. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. Hey, continue the conversation on our social media page at Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad. Always follow me on Facebook and Instagram and on Twitter. And we'll continue the conversation more about revenge porn, leaking nudes, and a whole lot more. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community, the next generation, and some very opinionated ladies. Peace.